Just for a moment, you might want to turn in your Bible to the book of Acts and chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And since Pradesh is headed back, I think, across the ocean. So, Ian was asked to get a better understanding of what he's up against and what he's doing. So, we're going to have him help us a little bit. Some of you have already seen this. But, Acts chapter 14, Paul's first missionary journey, he's in Antioch, verse 26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. Now, verse 27, what are they doing? They've been on that journey, and their first journey, they're reporting. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they all came back and assembled together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So here we are looking at the across the ocean to Nepal and the region from North Africa all the way over to Philippines, all the way over the dark area. The dark area, that's missions, that's the tough part. That's a tough world in history. So we're going to ask if he might come and rehearse for us, help us understand a little bit about there, so that we are here. Same problems, same everything, just different culture, background, and caste system. You got all of that. Anyway. Thank you. I'm going.
Could we read some verses first relating to the work that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples before he ascended to heaven? Can we start from Acts chapter 1? And we're also going to try from the visuals in a bit, I think. Okay. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So this is the Lord's plan, and it is still going on. And the power is the Holy Spirit. It's not us. So we can rest in him. And the authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we read John chapter 20 and verse 21? John 20 and 21. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said this to his disciples. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So, what a great statement this is. Lord Jesus is sending us even as the Father sent him. He perfectly represented the Father, and we're to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just going backwards. Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, looking at the Great Commission passages. And Luke chapter 24, and verse 46. and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. So it's very clear what we are to be, what the message is, what we are to preach, whose name we are to exalt, and what is the good news that he's offering to all the people. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we have his authority to speak to anybody on this whole earth about what he has done for them on the cross. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Their responsibility to believe, and God's promise that he would save them. One more, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20. 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we have, again, the Lord's authority to go. And it's not only evangelism, but it's planting churches. That's what his command is. So it's not people getting saved. That's just the beginning. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever ever I have commanded you. And so that's a big work that he has given us. And that's what we're seeking to do by his grace. And the great promise is, lo, I am with you always. So this always encourages me. He's always with us. So the flag, I think you can see, oh, it's gone. I hope it'll come back. It's the only flag in the world of the nations which is not rectangular. And Nepal is famous for its Himalayan mountains. And if we could go to the next slide. Size of Nepal, if you compare with Tennessee, that's about the size. So, and next picture we have, we can see that it is landlocked between China in the north, the Tibetan Plateau, very sparsely populated, and India on the south and east and west. So we're landlocked. And the elevation rises from even lower than I thought. It starts from about 200 feet above sea level in the south. That's where I live. And it goes up to Mount Everest, which is 29,028 feet. And it's within a range of average 120 miles. So you're going upward like that. So it's a land of extremes, in a sense, geographically, topographically. And the next slide shows some field ready for harvest. So I thought this would be a good place to start. In John chapter, Revelation 3, we have it. The Lord Jesus has given us an open door. Nepal was a closed country for all of history, actually. We have no record of the preaching of the gospel in our country in ancient times. Thomas was said to come to India, but the rulers of Nepal kept Nepal isolated for their own selfish purposes. And the Lord allowed the country to open up in 1951. That's not too long ago. And when the country opened up, there was no roads. no electricity, hardly any schools, and Nepal had been as though sleeping like a Rip Van Winkle, while the world, with the industrial revolution and changes, were moving forward. Nepal was way in ancient times, as you can. So within this last 70 years or so, things are changing, but some places are the same. So we can move to another place. This is Kathmandu. The population is 1.5. I checked that. So 1.5 million people living in a not too big space. It's densely populated. And the real estate price is higher than New York. So that's crazy. There are, it's said that there are more temples in Kathmandu than houses. I don't think it's true anymore. There are so many houses now. But it just goes to say that idolatry is very big. Like in the next picture you'll see, everywhere, idols. And it's a very big part of everyday life. So we can, when we fly to where we live in Narankat, that's what we see, just hills and hills and hills. And the mountains you can see are just shockingly high. They're like flying up there. Okay, next picture. That's where we live, Bharatpur or Chiton, Narankat, different names we use. It's we've been here for 9 years, since 2015. Next, we can go. So this is where we live. When we took this picture, we had a Bible study and we were having some food. So this is our living room with some of our young people. Okay. Oh, that's what we eat. Many of you have asked, what do we eat? Well, rice is the white thing, you know that. And lentils is the one thing. And then some vegetables. And it doesn't always look so nicely arranged, but this picture, we got it off the internet. It looks pretty nice. So we live very, very near a national park with Bengal tigers, with the rhinos, one-horned rhinos, elephants, wild boars, and alligators, and gharials, and different things. So, and that's the building where we meet. That's our upper room up there. We live, we meet in the upper story. And the highway, main highway, is running. This is the east-west highway connecting all Nepal. So we are around the middle of Nepal. And so next picture, you can see, this is this last Christmas. We had a lot of visitors coming, and we had some food afterwards. Next. So this is how it looks if we look out the window. And next. So they had to do some work on the platform, so these brothers did a good job. And next. So this is recently, after we came here, there was an engagement service for a ceremony for our young two couples. They're going to get married. So I think, can you play it? They were singing a song. Maybe I have translated it here. No sound, right? Okay, no, don't worry. Let's just move. So this is a small Christian school we run for our children for the parents who are attending. And not all attend, but about 12 are there. Next, we can go. We have every week, almost every day of the week, what we call house fellowship, just visiting believers and having more opportunity to teach. Because we can have, you get to meet here several times on Sunday. We can't quite do that because of problem with transportation, different things. So what we do is we teachers travel to houses, and so it's an opportunity to teach and also opportunity to share the gospel with those who are newcomers. Okay? This is another house fellowship in another place near Palung. Well, and we had tried different things for baptism. This was our latest way of doing it. So we didn't have to have a big planning for logistics. We could just get... But we've had it in a hotel nearby. Next picture. When I go back, we're having a baptism. We're going here. This is the Narani River running by our city. Okay, next. So this was almost last Christmas when we had an outing. You already saw this picture in the report. Actually, these pictures are just to go with the report. It didn't fit in the report, so I'm showing it to you. So next one. This is Palung village. That's where I and my family lived for 8 years. And there's a church there next. So we were, after visiting the believers, we're returning to Narangat, where we live, which is in the plains. This is up in the hills. So next we can. So this is a typical Nepali village. The houses, the dirt roads, and the slopes, and the terrace farming. Very typical. Next. This is another one in another village where I go. I'm visiting a seeker here with his wife. She's wearing a tikka, so she's not much of a seeker, but her husband is. And so that's where they live. Next picture. This, we're visiting another family, not too far from where the church building is. Next. Here, my wife wanted to visit a mother with a newborn, so there we are. And again, visiting believers in Dharke, just a picture here to get how it looks there, okay. Well, this happens to be where I was born 59 plus years ago. Can we move on? And when you take a look to our north, this is how it looks. So I had gone there not too long ago, and to this picture, I thought it was really nice. And this is a typical Nepali village house. That's the way they're built. Many of them got destroyed during the earthquake 8 years ago, but many of them have survived too. And inside, it's basically, that's how it looks. In the corner, what you can see is the firewood and your oven there, you know, just a dirt oven. And so on the left is the brother. He is in Palung Church. He is a good brother. He's one of the, he's working with five other men leading the church. And, this is an interesting picture. This is in 13 years before our country opened, Adolf Hitler wanted to give a gift to our king. So this is the gift he sent, a Mercedes-Benz from Germany. But there's no roads. So about 96 porters had to carry it. Poor guys. All the way. And it was a long, long journey. I don't know how many days it took. But now there is a bridge there. You travel this way. But I thought that was an interesting picture. Okay, next. So now we do have roads. So here we are returning from Palung and going to Narangat. So it's the mountain road, okay. This is how it looks, many bends and turns. So, and you have to be a little careful. And it does work. So this is a little view, what we'd see out of our window while we're driving. And the kind of houses, the type of village, a small village. There are 12 loops right here. We call it Barukumti, means 12 loops. So it can get a bit dizzy going down or coming up. And that's what happens. That's my daughter. Let's go to the next picture. Well, this is now traveling from Kathmandu to Narangat, the other highway. See, there are two highways. This is the other highway. So I used to travel on a motorcycle before, but now I'm in the safety of a car. I think it's safe. Well, now I'm using an electric car, so I just plug in, charge, and then move. So this has been great. It's a small country. I know you don't like it here because you're a big country. Where would you charge? But our country is small, not many roads, so it's ideal, actually. So traveling to another location here with my wife. So, and sometimes there's a roadblock, so we have to stop and take some tea and rest. And but when we get to the village, this is the normal pathway, how you would walk in a village. This is very typical. And here visiting Don Jung Gurung, I've mentioned him in the report. He's with the Lord now. He was a very faithful believer. And the Prajol on the right is my co-worker. I've mentioned him in the report. And next picture, you'll see a burial. And in our village or our town, we do have a place for burial, and that's great. But Kathmandu has big problem. Hindus don't like burial. They're very afraid that if you bury and you don't burn it and don't cremate it, then the spirit will come back and haunt you. So they're scared. Anyway, We do have, and this is Palong Church. This is where we lived 8 years, like we said, and there's a church now. And this is a little old picture. Sorry, I couldn't find a new one around 6-7 years ago. Okay, next picture. Oh, we have in Palong every 3 months a Bible, 3-day Bible training or Bible conference. And so we have a hall upstairs. I couldn't find a photo. But since this is our overflow room, you could call it, so downstairs, and there's our John, not John, somebody like John, doing this, sending the audiovisual downstairs with the speaker. And next picture, you'll see me and my writing on the right, if you can understand that. And he can go next. So further back, the overflow room overflowed, so we had a bamboo thing there. So that works pretty good. So this is a baptism in Palong. We use 2 people to baptize. And so he's getting baptized next. So this was a Bible training just for teachers. So after we finished 5 days of thing, we had some pulao. This is a Nepali rice dish, which Mrs. Roberts made for us today. But this is different. Okay. And this is another location. 4 months ago, we had a house fellowship in a place called Bardhaghat. And next, this is Dharke, which I have mentioned, is the smallest group, or which has the most, in a sense, they don't have their own teacher, so we are going, taking turns to teach them and try to guide them. This is Shardi Church, so they have a couple of teachers there to take, and I go there sometimes, not as much as I needed to before. And they have also a hostel. Next picture I think will show you. Oh, no. Okay, this is about 5 years ago in Shardi, 4 years ago, when they got this building ready and they were having a little dedication. Okay. So they have a boys' hostel, and that's been running very well. And this is when we started about 4 years ago. They've gotten a little bigger now. I think the next picture might show that. Yeah, they have grown a little bigger. And maybe the next picture will show them doing a little bit of work there. They have school. They do their own cooking and everything, and very disciplined, good environment. So here they are working hard, and so that's our way of agriculture. And this is Hetora. This is the newest work that has begun, and it's very encouraging the way it's going. Yesterday I had a long talk with the brother Patrus, who is there, and. So this is when we started a year and a half ago. Is there any more picture? Okay, that's our last one. Behold, I say unto you. Let's turn to John 4:34. So anywhere I go to Nepal, anywhere, there will be opposition. But always I have found there is somebody who will listen. And we will really want to listen again. And I said, do you want me to come back again? If you don't want to come back, I won't come back. I'll go somewhere else. They say, yeah, please come back again. So we just start with 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, you know. And that's how we start these groups, how all these groups started in that manner. And but look at that. That's another city called Pokhara. We don't have any contacts there. We used to have, they moved to where we are. And so there is, you can continue to pray as we go, and as long as the Lord allows us to go, we will go. So thank you very much. All your encouragements have been a great blessing to me, and I think Pastor will take the rest of the time, right? I'm going to wait. Yeah, I'm done. I'm just showing the pictures.
thank you for that. That helps us understand, get a glimpse of what's going on. And just so I don't forget, in case you were here this morning when we were talking, I want to remind you that we said that little picture out there in space of a galaxy, and the note, 275, I said, light years. I knew that wasn't right. It's 275 million light years that they're looking at. 275 million light years that they're looking at. That's awesome. A light year, 6 million, 6,000 million. Wow. Anyway, now that's just a side note. Over, if I can then, in the light of what Pardesh shared, over to John, over to 1 Corinthians. And in the light of Pardesh headed back. Second, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul reminds the believers. 1 Corinthians 16, sliding down, if I can, to verse 8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For, verse 9, a great door is effectual. A great door is effectual, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There's nowhere. And over there, they have a different kind of movement, the caste system and all of that. We don't have that. We just have Washington in the light of that. Adversaries, many adversaries. Opposed, darkness hates light. Over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is in prison, but he reminds us. Ephesians 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, reason. Oh, I'll take this out. Can you hear better? Sorry. Ephesians 6 and 19. As for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There are many adversaries, and I am seeking to communicate the wonderful truth of the mystery of the gospel, the good news that God has brought good news to a world that has very, very bad news. I want you to know, open my mouth, God, boldly. And chapter 4, Colossians. And chapter 4, Paul, again in jail still. Chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. What are you praying? What are we praying? That God would open unto us a door of utterance to communicate, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I'm in prison. I'm in prison, and I'm in prison to God. I'm bound to God. God has me set apart to communicate. The prison of Rome is nothing to me compared to God's. I'm going to be honoring God, looking to God, trusting God. And then as he opened Revelation chapter 3, and in Revelation chapter 3, keeping in mind, and you will note, remember, as I have said, the church in Philadelphia, and And to keep in mind, verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I know you have very little strength. There are many adversaries. We want to be very bold and clear about our relationship to Christ. It's foreign to the world. They just don't understand that God could save such as us. To really save us, we aren't talking about Hinduism or something. We're talking about heaven, God. Now, having said that, there are many doors, and the doors in this case are open. And the church, think of the early church in Asia, think of Revelation 2 and 3, which we're looking at. And here, if you were in Turkey, and you drew a little, here's Ephesus, and you drew a little line just like a horseshoe, and you hit Ephesus all the way over to Laodicea. There it is. And there they are, Revelation 2 and 3. Many doors were open. It wasn't very long that Turkey had no churches in the whole country. It was all gone. It was the center point. It became barren and naked. What are we talking about? We're at the end of the age. The many doors are there. They aren't the same doors. Many are closed. But the doors that are open, we try to go through them and try to bear witness to God's saving grace, knowing all the while we only have a little strength. We're only little pimpsqueaks, little. And we got a job to do, to be a light in a dark world, little lights in a dark world, knowing what? Revelation and chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I'm going to look, and as I'm looking, the doors aren't open. And God, the places have turned off God. Early church, think of Connecticut or New England in particular, and all the little churches, every town church. Not 10 churches, but one church. And the believers would go, as it were, all gone, pretty much all gone. Pawn shops and everything else. All gone. What are you doing? What are we saying? We're at the end of the age. We only can do so much. And God has been shut out of the church. The church has shut him out. And he's knocking, not at the door of a church. No. He's knocking for an individual in the church, out of the church. The church has shut him out, but God's still looking for whosoever would believe. That's what God's doing. If I can find anybody, I'm knocking at the door of the heart. The world has shut me out. I'm knocking to find a whosoever that would believe, and that's where we are. And here's the group, God bless you, and the believers trying to be everything they should be. We aren't going to do wonderful things like in Acts chapter 2. We aren't going to have wonderful, dynamic Antioch churches. We aren't going to have them. We aren't going to get them. We're trying to do the little bit we can in a darkening day and God has to help us. And that's Pradesh's got his job, and we got ours. And there we are to be a little light, that's all. And lights don't have to worry. Why don't lights have to worry? Because the power is coming. The power is coming from Eversource. Here comes the power. God, the little light is just a bulb, just a heart, just a person. But all, like we shared this morning and all of that, all the darkness in the world would love to crush it and put it out. But it can't do it. You can never, never, never get and put the light out. We can choose to turn it off, but the world can't put it out. They'd like to. They'd like to. But we're just little, the little candle, the little light, and all of the enemy, the hostility, the opponents, the obstacles, can't touch it. It just sits and be and is a little light in the darkness. A little lighthouse in the midst of a troubled sea. Being a little light for the travelers traveling through time. God has to help us. Our Father and God, thank you that we can even have all this reminder. Thank you for Nepal and all that's happening and all that enable Pradesh and the people and the believers and the brethren there and here and everywhere across the face of the earth. God, help us all in these days. Even so, come. In Christ's name we ask it. Lord, thank you. Amen.